Good morning, everyone. My name is Kara Hunter. I'm an assistant professor of accounting at Fairfield University in the Dolan School of Business, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be here today to present my paper, Standard Precision and Aggressive Financial Reporting, The Influence of Incentive Horizon. This paper is co-authored with Jake Rose at the University of Waikato, Jay Thibodeau at Bentley University, and ATM Terikuzaman at Victoria University in Wellington, New Zealand. Today I'm going to walk you through what actually prompted us to take on this research. So starting with our motivation, moving into some of the background literature on standard precision, developing our hypotheses, how we designed the research study. I'll present our results and findings, and lastly, conclude with some of the summary of our results and the implications. So we began this study in the first year of my PhD program at Bentley University. This study actually became the first chapter in my dissertation. At the time, I was fresh out of practice, about 2 years removed from being a US-based Big Four CPA, and I was really struggling to put on my academic hat and take off the I'm a CPA, I'm an auditor hat. So really kind of juggling with that identity shift. And in one of my seminar classes, we were introduced to the literature on standard precision. So the first paper I read was the Angolia et al. 2011 study that finds that less precise standards are associated with less aggressive financial reporting. And at the time, I remember being like, ooh, but that doesn't jive with my expectations as a US-based CPA. And I ran it by some of my friends and colleagues, former colleagues, and they all share the same perception. However, I knew the research was solid. I understood their methods and exactly what they did, but there was still this disconnect, and I really struggled to reconcile the perception of practitioners with what I was reading in the academic literature. So this prompted me to consider what kind of additional context we could add to this literature. How can we extend this? What other factors might be at play here that could essentially be responsible for this disconnect between the perceptions of US-based audit practitioners and what we were reading in the literature? So I started to explore strategic firm choices that they might make that could add to this context. And one choice that I kept coming back to was the choice of how to structure financial incentives. So how a firm chooses to structure their financial incentives can be an important determinant in essentially whether they're focusing their attention on short-term profitability or ensuring the long-term health of the company. And so this really prompted my research question: how the incentive horizon of the financial statement preparer might start to influence that relationship between standard precision and aggressive financial reporting. So a bit of the background literature on standard precision. More precise standards are really what we refer to as those rules-based standards. Rules-based standards are very detailed. They provide very strict guidance with bright line tests and thresholds to help preparers in selecting the appropriate accounting treatment. It's thought that providing this detailed guidance should improve the comparability across financial statements. However, if we're trying to force dissimilar transactions into the same accounting treatment, that's actually going to harm comparability. It's also thought that these rules can provide a shield for financial statement preparers. Essentially, they can point and say, hey, I followed the rules, no fault here, I did it right. So it actually could, it's perceived to be a shield from criticism. It's also thought that this could encourage opportunistic transaction structuring, where a financial statement preparer is going to, with knowledge of the standard and the specific thresholds or bright line tests that they're going to encounter, choose to structure a transaction in a particular way so that it achieves a preferential accounting treatment that's consistent with their incentives. Obviously, none of these are the goal when you're setting accounting standards. In contrast, less precise standards are commonly known as principles-based, and they rely heavily on financial statement preparer judgment in choosing the appropriate accounting treatment. And allowing the role of judgment is thought to really improve the understandability of the financial statements. You're not going to be forcing dissimilar transactions to things. It should make things a lot more clear cut. However, there are critics of less precise standards that would argue that when you're introducing judgment into the financial reporting process, you're essentially inviting people to take advantage of that latitude and that flexibility, and that this could result in more aggressive financial reporting. However, that hasn't been shown to be the case. The general trend in the literature, the trend that I encountered in that first seminar class back during my PhD, is that less precise standards are associated with less aggressive financial reporting. Saros and Trotman, 2004, used a consolidation task, and they found that when financial statement preparers were presented with more precise standards, they actually reported more consistently with their incentives. So they engaged in a little bit more aggressive reporting in the direction of their incentives. Agoli et al. 2011 used a lease accounting task, and they examined the same issue and found that less precise standards are associated with less aggressive financial reporting. Importantly, they performed a mediation analysis to kind of look at if they could identify some of the variables that might be influencing that relationship. And they found that this was due to two factors. Increased concerns surrounding the economic substance of the transaction, and increased concerns for the need to justify judgments to regulators, and that this was really driving that observed relationship between less precise standards and less aggressive financial reporting. The second factor that I examined is incentive horizon. The incentive horizon is essentially where a decision maker is focusing their attention based on how they are compensated. We're specifically focusing on stock-based compensation. Stock-based compensation has long been thought to be the solution to the agency problem. So we start to align the financial interests of management with that of the shareholders, and that this should make everything great and perfect. However, there's a substantial body of evidence that shows that stock-based compensation might actually go a little bit too far and provide an inducement that would actually encourage earnings management behavior amongst the financial statement preparers. So Bebchuk and Fried in 2010 theorized that it's not just stock-based compensation, but how that compensation is structured that is going to determine the likelihood to engage in earnings management type behavior. Specifically, when there are short-term oriented forms of stock-based compensation, so unrestricted forms, stock that can be sold at any time, or options that can be exercised at any time, that this is going to lead to management short-termism, a little bit of myopic behavior, and that this will be associated with an increase in aggressive financial reporting. However, when you move into restricted forms of stock-based compensation that includes vesting periods or holding requirements, that this should extend the incentive horizon and the decision orientation of the financial statement preparers, and thus this would actually be associated with a reduction in aggressive financial reporting. Importantly, there is some empirical support that supports the distinction between these two forms of stock-based compensation. So Johnson et al. 2006 looked at fraud firms and non-fraud firms, and it found that amongst the fraud firms, they had significantly greater incentives from unrestricted forms of stock-based compensation. And Gopalan et al. 2014 looked at CEO pay duration, and that found that CEOs had a short pay duration, so their short-term incentive horizon, that this was associated with incentive-consistent financial reporting. So how might these two factors interact? How are we going to think about incentive horizon and standard precision jointly? At this point in time, it's actually, in order to really explain our hypotheses, it's important that I tell you a little bit about our study. This study is going to partially replicate the Agoli et al. 2011 study. The Agoli et al. 2011 study, as I mentioned, is a lease classification task where they give participants the financial impact of a lease classification task or a lease classification decision, and then they look at how these participants chose to classify the lease under more and less precise guidance. In that case, there are no elements that should extend the decision horizon of the financial statement preparers. Everything is really focused on the short term. So this really is our short-term incentive horizon condition. We aren't changing any of the contextual elements in that case in the short-term condition. So accordingly, I really did not expect to find anything different. So consistent with prior literature, we expect that when incentive horizon is short-term, that the less precise standards would be associated with less aggressive financial reporting. If you recall, they found two mediating variables in that study. They found that concerns for second guessing and the need to justify that decision to regulators, and concerns about essentially supporting the economic substance of the transaction, are what drove that relationship. Now, there's a body of literature out there that shows that regulators are more concerned with efforts to boost short-term profitability. They're less focused on decisions happening within a firm that focus on long-term profitability, but they really hone in on those short-term efforts to boost the financials, to hit this year's targets, to make this year's numbers, to hit this year's analyst projections. That's where essentially everything orients. So if in our long-term condition, that concern might start to feel a little bit less salient to the participants. They might not feel those concerns for regulator oversight because that's the short-term guy's problem. That's this year's problem, not long-term. So as those concerns start to decrease in our long-term condition, we hypothesize that financial statement preparers will be less concerned with those factors and thus more willing to engage in aggressive financial reporting, and that because of the flexibility inherent in less precise standards, that this effect will be more salient when the standards are less precise. So that's how we came to our hypothesis, that when the incentive horizon changes from short-term to long-term, less precise standards will be associated with a greater increase in aggressive financial reporting relative to more precise standards. So how did we design our study? As I mentioned, this is heavily leveraging the Egolia et al. 2011 study. We begin by collecting demographic data about our participants. We then move into the background information where we provide our participants with information about a fictitious company. They're asked to assume the role of the financial statement preparer of this company, and they are told that this company is experiencing financial stress, and that this company is expected to fall short of their earnings projections for the year. And this is actually where we embed our incentive horizon manipulation. Participants are told one of two things. In the short-term condition, they are told that management is compensated in stock that can be sold at any time. So there's absent any holding requirements or vesting period. In the long-term incentive horizon manipulation, they are told that management is compensated heavily in stock that has a 5-year holding requirement and cannot be sold for several years more. We then provide them with a lease classification task. So the lease classification task provides information about a lease decision that the financial statement preparer is going to make. They're given all of the information about the lease and provided with the lease classification criteria. In our more precise standard condition, we borrow the language from ASC 840, the former U.S. GAAP leasing standard, and use the term, and it states that it's for 75% or more of the economic useful life of the transaction. In our less precise standard, we borrow the language from IAS 17 and use the term for the major part of the economic useful life of the transaction. So I'm going to pause here and address the elephant in the room. I am using the former standards rather than the current standards. And this is for a couple of reasons. So first and foremost, at the time that we actually did this study, these were not the former standards, they were the current standards. So short of going to hunt down 150 CFOs again, which I did not want to do, I probably would still be doing my PhD now. That wasn't really an option to change the standards at that time. Secondly, we are examining a construct. So we are looking at the construct of standard precision rather than the impact of any specific standard on financial statement preparers' decisions. There are rules-based standards within IFRS. There are principles-based standards within US GAAP. We're really not looking at the impact of any one standard system or a particular standard at all. We really want to just look at that construct of standard precision. And third is, because we're going to be looking at the mediating variables and looking at, you know, the concerns surrounding justifying our decisions to regulators, we really wanted to heavily leverage this Agoli et al. 2011 study. If we were to start changing the information within that we were providing to participants, it would get very muddy from an experimental perspective, and we would be left trying to defend, are the results that we're observing truly due to the manipulations and the constructs that we're trying to examine, or are they due to the changed context? And we're really be introducing a lot of noise that is not necessarily something we wanted to do from a pure experimental perspective. So after we provide them with the lease classification criteria, we give them the financial statement impact of their lease classification decision. In this financial statement impact, the participant is presented with essentially the fact that if the participant chooses to classify the lease as an operating lease, they will be able to achieve the earning targets for that year. And if they choose to capitalize the lease, they're going to fall short of the earnings targets for that particular year. We then ask the participants to rate what their lease classification decision would be on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 represents classifying as an operating lease and 10 represents classifying as a capital lease. And then we move into manipulation check items and the debriefing measures. So participants in our study were 135 experienced financial statement preparers. Over half of them were CFOs, and they had about 18 years of experience on average. 76% were male, and 59 were from the United States, and 76 were from Bangladesh. It was really important to us that we have financial statement preparers that had experience with both a typically more precise standard system and also experience applying a less precise standard system, so that we could really ensure that our results weren't being driven by familiarity with a particular standard. And so we selected preparers from Bangladesh as well. If you recall, when looking at these descriptive statistics, a high score, a rating of 10, represents the decision to classify the lease, which is the conservative treatment in our particular case. So a lower score is indicative of kind of more aggressive choices to report as an operating lease. So our results. To test our hypotheses that as incentive horizon moves from short-term to long-term, less precise standards will be associated with an increase in aggressive financial reporting, we run a 2x2 ANOVA, and we find evidence of a significant interaction. So this provides us with some evidence that the effects of standard precision are varying across the levels of standard precision. Incentive horizon. We next examine if there's a change in the tendency to capitalize the lease between more precise and less precise standards using simple effects tests. For the more precise standards, we did not find any evidence that there were differences between the short-term and long-term incentive horizon condition. The p-value on that was 0.336, so very insignificant. However, when standards are less precise, there was a significant difference in the lease classification decision between short-term and long-term incentive horizon. The p-value was 0.014. We also conducted planned contrast testing to look at the signed change in the tendency to capitalize the lease, and that was significant as well. And for those of us that are visual learners, so I am, unlike many of my colleagues I know, go straight to the tables when they're evaluating results. I always look for the pictures first. I'm not sure if that's because I have a simpler mindset, but I like to look at the big picture before I dive into the details. So visual depiction for those of us that prefer that method of absorbing information. So next, we conducted some mediation analyses. So the, if you recall, the Agolia et al. 2011 study found two mediating variables that are really influencing that relationship between standard precision and aggressive financial reporting. Concerns about regulator second guessing and concerns about the economic substance of the transaction. So we did some mediation analysis, and unlike Agolia, we found that there was absolutely no that we didn't have results when we used our full sample. However, the Agolia study really only represents our short-term condition. So to really understand if what we were seeing, we actually needed to split our sample on incentive horizon and look at the short-term and the long-term separately. So we decided to split the sample and rerun our mediation analyses. To do our mediation, we relied on Hayes and Preacher 2014 and Hayes 2018 Model 4, which uses 95% bias-corrected confidence intervals and 5,000 bootstrap samples. And we find that in the short-term condition, concerns about the economic substance of the transaction mediates that relationship. However, in the long-term, in the long term, this is no longer a mediating variable. So in the long-term condition, financial statement preparers are less concerned about having to essentially justify the economic substance of the transaction, and this is no longer driving that relationship. So this at least provides partial support for our hypothesis that when the standards are, or when the incentive horizon is long-term, and when standards are less precise, financial statement preparers might feel a little bit of freedom. They're not as concerned about justifying the economic substance, and that they might feel free to take advantage of some of the flexibility inherent in less precise standards to report aggressively. We did quite a bit of additional testing. So following Agolia et al., we did dichotomize our dependent variable. A response 1 to 5 was coded as 0, and then 6 to 10 was coded as 1, and our results are consistent. One really important test that we needed to do was to examine this phrase for the major part of, because how a participant interprets the phrase for the major part of could really impact how they're viewing the case facts. So a participant that interprets for the major part of to mean 10% or 90% is going to be essentially working with a substantially different decision than the people in the more precise standard condition that are given 75% and that's what they're basing their decision on. So we, in our debriefing measures, asked participants to assign a percentage to how they would interpret for the major part of. And then we used this as a covariate in our study, and our results were unchanged. We also restricted our sample to include only those participants in the less precise standard condition that reported that their interpretation of for the major part of was within the relevant range. So we said 70 to 80%. And we find, again, that our results are consistent. If you recall, we mentioned that we used preparers from both the United States and Bangladesh. And usually we get some questions, okay, there are significant cultural differences between U.S.-based financial statement preparers and those from Bangladesh. So we captured some debriefing measures that aimed to get at some of the cultural difference, and none were significant. We also used a country indicator variable and included that as a covariate in our study, and the results were, again, the covariate was insignificant and our results were unchanged. So we feel very confident in using this sample. So what does this tell us? So in summary, we are able to replicate the Agolia study in our short-term condition. So we're really adding strength to that original finding. We've been able to replicate with a completely different sample, and it includes international preparers. So we feel really comfortable with our short-term findings. Our long-term findings, when we're looking at a long-term incentive horizon, however, we're introducing something new to the literature. We're seeing that less precise standards are actually associated with an increase in aggressive financial reporting when the standards are less precise and there is a long-term incentive horizon. So we're really building on this body, we're adding context, and this was due to, or partially attributable to, decreased concerns for the economic substance when those standards are long-term.
Now, the fun part, the implications.
So the implications of this study, which is probably more important, especially to the practitioners in this room, the implications of this study. We are strengthening the literature on those short-term standards, but I really feel proud that we are adding additional context and really starting to strengthen the literature on standard precision by adding additional factors in that should be considered. I'm going to sound a little bit nerdy here, but when I was doing my PhD, they asked essentially what my motivation for the entire dissertation on standard precision was. And I said, I hope that I can build out this literature and really extend it to include more factors that's going to make it a little bit stronger, and that this could then be informative to standard setters and regulators. I did not think that a couple years later I would be standing here actually getting to present my research to the standard setters. So I'm really honored to be able to actually do that. But I really hope that by building out this body of research and trying to really closely mimic some of the adding in factors that more closely mimic the actual operating environment in businesses, that this will become more informative, and that the academic and scholarly works on standard precision can be informative to standard setters as we continue moving forward. It's a very exciting time. And this hopefully will be informative to everyone. So we're showing really that to look at standard precision in isolation might paint an incomplete picture. You can't consider, say, there really is no definitive. I think when I was naive and started my PhD, I wanted to say, oh, this kind of standard is better than this kind of standard. But really that's not the case, and it's never gonna be the case. It's gonna be the favorite answer. It depends. You need to consider more of the context and more of the other factors that might be at play in a particular situation to understand what impact standard precision will have on the behavior of individuals. And then, of course, some limitations of our research and directions for future research. The big limitation is that we have used the former leasing standards rather than the present leasing standards. However, I hope that kind of by addressing those comments, I put a little bit of your minds at ease about why that was a design choice and why it's necessary from an experimental perspective. The leasing standards truly are the most beautiful from an experimental perspective because you can provide the exact same context while only flipping a couple words, which is perfect for making sure that you're maintaining the integrity of your experiment and keeping it very pure. But future research could try to find another standard that works just as nicely and use this particular and look at standard precision in that context. And I also think that future research should explore some of the additional strategic choices that firms are making, some of the other things that are likely to be weighing on the minds of financial statement preparers, and understand if those might also have an influence on that observed relationship between standard precision and aggressive financial reporting. Because as we build out the number of contexts that we've explored this issue in, we will get a much bigger picture, and it will be much more complete. So thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity to present my research to you today. It truly was an honor. And I look forward to seeing the comments of our discussants.
Thanks very much.